Hey, Doug's got a nice place here. Nice mic. Got the cool headsets. Hey, this is Joe Saul-Sehy sitting in for Doug Goldstein on the Goldstein on Gelt Show. Shalom.
You're listening to the Goldstein on Gelt Show with certified financial planner and best-selling author, Doug Goldstein.
Joe, man, what are you doing in the studio?
I am taking over.
Come on, seriously, I gotta do the show. This is Doug Goldstein on the Goldstein on Gelt Show. A little later, I'll be bringing on Joe Saul-Sehy, a buddy of mine from the Money Tree Investment Podcast, and also the host of the Stacking Benjamins Show.
Which is about to go live to a couple cities around the United States, Doug. So for your U.S. listeners, they're about to get some of this craziness that you're getting right here. I love your chair.
Oh, could I forget it? I'll sit in your chair. Seriously, you're going to go traveling? I thought you normally sit at home in wherever it is you live, Texas?
Yeah, generally in my mom's half-finished basement, which is why this is a great room. I get so much better lit than the basement is.
Yeah, that's scary. You do look very pale today. I guess that's spending a lot of time in the basement. Everyone should know that the Stacking Benjamin Show actually literally does take place in Joe's mom's basement. And certainly it is one of the top shows in the world of financial podcasting up there. I'd like to think with the Goldstein on Gelt Show, if only our show was up there. No, seriously, where are you going to be traveling?
We are headed to a couple cities. We've already been to Orlando. So you missed us, Orlando. You have to go to Kansas City, October 9th, where we're going to be at the Improv at a comedy club. And then we're hitting up a comedy club just north of Detroit in a little suburb called Fabulous Ferndale. It's actually really just called Ferndale, but we like to call it Fabulous Ferndale. And we're at the Go Comedy Improv Theater there, trying to do some comedy, Doug, while we're on the road. Yeah.
Well, actually, you should come to Jerusalem, because a little while ago I did a great stand-up comedy club here in Jerusalem. I, in fact, was invited. I did the opening for one of the lead comics there. How come you're not actually doing a show in Jerusalem? You don't like talking about, you know, cross-border investing?
Version 2.0. That is version 2.0. But seriously, a lot of that cross-border investing stuff is what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, thank you. I feel like a guest on my own show.
Well, absolutely. It's time, like I said, I'm taking over. And here's what I'm wondering. And actually, you and I both know, when we have people ask us this stuff at the Stacking Benjamin Show, I always refer them to you. Why is it so hard for people to open U.S. brokerage accounts when you live in Israel or someplace else?
No, it's true, actually. Well, I'll take you a little bit back in history. After 9/11, the U.S. passed the Patriot Act. The whole point of this act was to stop bad guys from moving money and using the U.S. banking system in order to use money. So they created a huge amount of regulation that basically told all of the brokerage firms and all of the banks that if you get involved with helping someone move dollars from here to there and they're a bad guy, you could be criminally liable, even if you didn't know that you were helping a bad guy. So all of these banks and brokerage firms, their compliance officers, reasonably, they got kind of afraid. They go, wow, what do I want with that? And then they said, you know, let's just not do any business outside the United States. A lot of them simply won't do business with someone outside the United States, even if the client is a U.S. citizen. What happened was many, many companies simply closed out the accounts. They wrote letters to clients and said, "Dear John, thank you very much for being with us for the past 20 years, but we can no longer handle your account, so please transfer out in the next 60 days.
I like how you use the name John in your Dear John letter from the brokerage account.
No, it's really something. What would you do if you got a letter like that?
Well, I seriously would wonder. I would think to myself, can I actually still have an IRA anymore? Like, do I have to get rid of all these investments?
It's a huge mistake that people make. The fact is, even though I'm saying in general, there are a lot of banks and brokerage firms that won't work with people outside the United States, there are those that will. In fact, my company here in Israel opened up over 20 years ago, and we hooked up with U.S. brokerage firms that specialize in dealing with people outside the United States. So their compliance officers, interestingly, are often multilingual. They come from many different countries. They're used to the idea that, in fact, there are people who do choose to live outside the United States and yet want to own stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, or even want to maintain their IRA. So you've just got to find one of those companies that specializes in people outside the United States.
But what about like my checkbook, my debit card? I think you probably have to throw all those in the trash.
So again, that's a good question. The major brokerage firms, and again, I'm using my company as an example, but I'm not pushing my company, even though it's my show, although I'm beginning to have second thoughts because the way that you're sitting in my chair. But we hook up with a big bank and we're able to provide the debit card and the checkbook and the online viewing and all that kind of stuff in English. It's all done in America, but the clients have to realize that in order to open the account, they'll just sometimes have to give a little extra information. They might have to prove who they are. We're going to check two forms of ID instead of one form, and we may ask them to prove their address. A lot of times when people are moving money from one country to another, we're going to ask them just to show us that the money, as we say here, is kosher, that, you know, you have some proof that this is your money.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you the biggest thing that I think we bring to the table, or when you work with a company that specializes in cross-border, is you've got a guy who sits in your city. You know, someone can literally come into my office in Jerusalem and I can fulfill the requirements for KYC, know your client. Joe, when you were a financial advisor in days of yore, did you do a lot of KYC kind of stuff? What did you do in order to really get to know your client?
Yeah, we had a full questionnaire, as you know. It's almost like when you go into the doctor's office and they ask you a ton of questions about your health history. And I mean, we had your goals, what are you trying to achieve, your risk tolerance. You know, everybody's filled out those forms before. But we go even more into detail, who are the family members, just so we could prove if things got bad that we actually knew who our client was.
That is a great point, Joe. Joe, oh man, I don't even know who the guy is sitting in my studio. What's your last name?
It's Fantastic. No, it's not Mr. Fantastic. It's Joe Salcihi.
Mr. Fantastic, Joe Salcihi. All right, let's go grab a coffee and take a break.
Awesome.
The Goldstein on Gelt Show is sponsored by Profile Investment Services. www.profile-financial.com.
My second favorite thing about Doug Goldstein's retirement planning book is the chapter on retirement savings tips for the older worker. Oh yeah, and my favorite thing about the book is that I got it for free by going to www.goldsteinongelt.com. Yeah, that's right, free.
I could get used to this. Is the pay any good?
It is great. You could have a second cup of instant coffee if you like, but I'm not sure I'm going to give you the Nespresso.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to throw in the second cup absolutely free. Yeah. Let's talk about general investing. Investing different in Israel than it is in the USA?
Yeah. The fact is, for Americans who live in Israel, there are a couple of things they really have to be worried about. If you move to Israel and you go to your local bank, which is normally where people do their investing, you could buy things like stocks and bonds. That's not usually an issue. The big problem that Americans have is that they're used to buying mutual funds. And when you buy an Israeli mutual fund, imagine, Joe, if you were the IRS and you saw that some American was putting his money into an Israeli mutual fund, which another term would be, from the IRS's standpoint, an offshore mutual fund. And as soon as people start talking about offshore, what does that kind of sound like to you?
It sounds like a little shady, a little sketchy.
Yeah, a little shady. It's a little tax evasion, tax cheats.
Yeah.
You know, these fat cats who are hiding their money offshore. Well, that's exactly, of course, what people used to do. And the IRS really, really frowns on people buying offshore mutual funds. It's not illegal, but every accountant I know says, boy, is that a bad idea? And they will tell their American clients never, ever, ever to buy a PFIC, a P-F-I-C, which stands for a Passive Foreign Investment Corporation. So imagine you move to Israel, you learn Hebrew beyond just, you know, shalom, which you said great before. And you go into your local bank and you go, hey, well, you know, I'd like to diversify my portfolio. What are they going to tell you?
They're going to tell you not to.
Well, the fact is, they may not tell you that. They'll be like, great, we got mutual funds. In Hebrew, they use the word Karen Ne'emanut. Here, let's learn Hebrew. All right, Joe, you say that. Karen. Ne'emanut. Oh, man, this is good. This is like a Hebrew lesson for you. So they'll say, okay, good. You can buy a Keren Ne'emanut. Well, they'll say it like with an Israeli accent. Shalom. Thank you very much for coming. You can buy a Keren Ne'emanut. It is very, very diversified. So you'll go like, oh, is that a mutual fund? And he's like, yes, yes. And you'll buy it. And then you won't even realize that you bought the wrong thing. And the fact is, the banker doesn't know that he sold you the wrong thing because he's Israeli. He doesn't know anything about U.S. tax law. And that's the problem with getting, you know, advice from someone who has no idea what he's talking about.
But am I missing out on anything? I mean, you know, there's always this fear of missing out on the next hot thing. If I don't buy one, am I missing out?
So the answer is, as an American, if you want to have a broadly diversified portfolio, the best thing for you to do is just to set up a brokerage account in the United States, which you can do no matter where you are. If you're in the US, no problem, obviously. And if you're in Israel, it's also no problem. You just, again, have to work with a company that deals with it. The thing you have to remember when you are living in Israel and really living anywhere is you've got to start with the basics. You've got to start with figuring out why you're investing. I'll tell you, I sat with a couple today and they were getting an inheritance. It was about $250,000 inheritance. They were going to add it to their account. They were talking to me about their concerns. Interestingly, both of their parents had lived into their late 90s and had needed nursing care. And then the husband's like, yeah, I saw this great stock, Doug. It's trading for about 88 cents. And they've got this great new invention that they're going to get FDA approval for, I'm sure. And, you know, I just want to put a little bit of money in there, let's say $50,000. Because imagine, you know, if it goes from 88 cents to $5, think how much I'll make. So I said, wait a second, you just told me that your parents lived a long time and you just got $250,000 and you might need nursing care for years and you want to bet a huge percentage of that on a penny stock?
It's crazy. I mean, well, I just heard even just this last week, somebody wrote to us saying they wanted to invest $250,000 and they had two stocks. They were wondering if they should invest in just those two stocks. Like $250,000 in two stocks. I mean, maybe, right? If you have a multi-million dollar portfolio, maybe that's a small enough piece of the portfolio that it makes sense. But this was all the person's money. This was all they had. Wow. And they thought two stocks was diversification.
You know what, one of the issues that a lot of people have is they'll have maybe two stocks, right? I've seen this a lot of times with a widow. She'll come in and she'll say, you know, my husband was a very good stock picker. He bought, you know, stock A and stock B 30 years ago. And, you know, we only invested $10,000 and now it's worth $800,000. What should I do? The fact is she should diversify. But the problem is if she sells, she's going to be hit with a capital gains tax immediately.
Yeah.
What did you tell people when you saw this kind of situation?
Well, I think the question isn't, do you want to get hit or not? It's where do you want to get hit? Because the sad fact is you're going to get hit with this tax no matter what, unless you pass away as a U.S. citizen, of course, pass away. And then there's a step up in basis in the stock if it's in a non-IRA account. But if you actually want to spend that money, it's where do I want to get hit? And the answer then is going to be, I'd rather get hit as soon as possible, even though it's a big number, because it's probably going to be a worse hit later on down the road. So take my lumps and then look for cover, you know, look around, I think, and see if there are any losers in your portfolio that maybe you need to weed the portfolio garden, so to speak, and find some of these stocks you should have sold a while ago as well that have lost money to maybe cover up some of the gains.
Yeah, I'll tell you one of the cool things you mentioned, and you were correct to kind of disclaim the comment you made that it applies to U.S. investors. But when people from the States move to Israel, they get a 10-year tax holiday on their passive income in Israel. So it's an encouragement because Israel is looking to get immigrants. And you still have to pay tax in the U.S., which is something to remember. And it actually leads to opportunities for Israeli tax planning for people when they come to Israel. It's so easy because they don't have to think about dealing with filing taxes on their, you know, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. It gives them plenty of time to get used to the system, to learn the language, to find accountants, to get settled. And then 10 years later, they have to start dealing with it. But at that point, and actually right before that point, there are sometimes opportunities for things they can do. So I always tell them to speak to our financial advisor or to speak to an accountant who specializes in cross-border investors when they're, let's say, in their ninth year. And then in their 10th year, they have to realize that now they're gonna have to start filing taxes in Israel. But because of a U.S.-Israeli tax treaty, they won't get double taxed on things like capital gains, interest, and dividends. So if you pay in one country, you don't have to pay in the other. You take a credit for whatever you paid.
Oh, sweet. Well, and I know your mom just moved there. So your mom's going through this right now. She's in the middle of this holiday.
Yeah, this is great. She just came this summer. She moved to Israel. We're super excited. And yeah, just like everyone else, she's learning all about the Israeli financial world, which for her is relatively easy because, you know, my mother was a vice president at a major U.S. brokerage firm. She was there for 17 years. In fact, when I got started in the business, I worked with her. We were partners in New York. And then I had this great idea that I would come live in Israel. But luckily, I continued to do the same thing in Israel that I did in America. And the interesting thing about my mother was that her mother, my mother's mother, my grandmother, was one of the first women to be licensed as a stockbroker in America.
Oh,
so
wow.
My grandma, my mother, my wife is licensed as an investment advisor in the U.S. And my daughter now, she also manages the course that I teach on financial planning at Webster University. So in my world, I've got four generations of female, professional female investors. I'm pretty excited about that.
My mom is the first mom to host an award-winning podcast out of her basement. That's about as far as my mom goes.
Well, so. That's cool. That's We should bring her on the show next time. Let her talk about that.
Oh, shit. It will not be good. It will not be good.
Speaking of our mothers, Joe, I got to run because actually my mother is editing the blog. My mother, by the way, before she was an investment advisor, was an editor at Scholastic. So she's also a great editor for me. She works at my company at Profile Investments. One of the things she does is she edits the blog, which we have at profile-financial.com. You can actually check it out. It's all new formatting, all fantastically edited by the wonderful Rhoda Goldstein. The whole thing is actually set up by my wife. And so I'm going to split. You wrap up the show. Joe Saul-Sehy, really fantastic to see you here.
Well, thanks for having me. And I think I'm taking this chair back with me. So thanks, everybody, for listening to the Goldstein on Gelt show. We're here every week. If you haven't subscribed to the show, and people think you have to pay to subscribe, it is free. Believe it or not, pinch yourself. You'll get this for free. Head to GoldsteinOnGelt.com, wherever you listen, subscribe to the show. You'll find show notes for this podcast at GoldsteinOnGelt.com. And if you go to the show notes page, you know what you're going to find? Details on our shows in Kansas City or in Detroit. So if you're in the United States like we are, we'd love to see you in Kansas City on October 9th. We'll be at the Improv. And it's not just us. We'll also have an opening podcast, Rounding the Bases with Joel Goldberg. And if you're somebody from Kansas City, of course, you know, Joel is the guy that does the pregame and postgame Kansas City Royals games. And then in Detroit, we will be in Ferndale, October 24th. Show starts at 7 o'clock at Go Comedy Improv Theater. Tickets for both of those shows are only 10 bucks. And we're so excited. Our special guest there will be storyteller Shannon Kason, who you've seen on The Moth and you've heard him on Snap Judgment. And the opening show for us there are our friends at The Debrief, talking about arts and entertainment in the Detroit area. So come on out. Hope you can make it. But those are at the show notes page at GoldsteinOnGelt.com. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm Joe Saul-Sehy, the best host of this show ever.
You've been listening to The Goldstein on Gelt Show with certified financial planner Douglas Goldstein. If you'd like your questions answered on the air or off, contact Doug by clicking on the Contact Us button at www.goldsteinongelt.com or send an email to doug@profile-financial.com. Before making any investment based on what you heard on the show, be sure to read the complete disclaimer at www.goldsteinongelt.com.
Hey, Joe, don't forget to shut the computer before you leave the studio.